We're doing the Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima. We're up to page Nun Zayin in the Beit Hayayin edition, page Samach Hey in the Chazon Yol edition. We discussed earlier that the miracles that happened in the Exodus really attest to the fact that God created the world and has control, so He was able to do miracles, change the Nile into blood, etc. They attest to the fact that God knows what's going down here. I mean, He knew we were suffering. He knew what's happening with Pharaoh. And they attest to the fact that God's watching over what's happening down below. And He punishes those that sin. He punished the Egyptians, and ultimately He took care of us and took us out of Egypt. So the basic concepts of Jewish faith, the basic concepts are really illustrated through the story of the Exodus. And that's why we have this mitzvah to commemorate the Exodus, to commemorate the basic concepts of Jewish faith when it comes to our doorposts, when we enter, where we leave. We said that this needs work because technically in the mezuzah it doesn't mention the Exodus. Parsha of Yetzias Mitzrayim is not in the mezuzah. Shema and Vahayim Shema are in the mezuzah. So maybe we can suggest that the Ramban means that the mitzvah of mezuzah corresponds to the blood that they put on their doorposts when God passed over their houses. Or maybe the commemoration of Yetzias Mitzrayim on the doorposts is through the validation of these tenets of Jewish faith, but this needs work. What's the connection between Shema and Vehoyim Shema and Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's what we write in the mezuzah. And what does the Ramban mean by that? No. Uvitfilin barosh uvazroa, and the tefillin that we wear on our head and our arm, okay, so there we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. And when we read the Shema every night and every morning, and the Sukkah, Pesach, those mitzvahs really do commemorate the Exodus. Everything else here we understand. The mezuzah, the question is, what did he mean by that? So now we start understanding how pleasant and beautiful the mitzvahs are. That when you see them and perform them, they're supposed to inspire a sense of appreciation in a person. You guys, did I ever tell you the story? I don't think we did that here. I do this with many classes. There are two stories that I think are very important. Story number one is there was a girl who wanted to marry a young man, and everyone refused. Her parents were against it, her neighbors were against it, her friends were against it. Everyone she spoke to was against it. And she said, no, he's the one for me. And her father kept trying to talk her out of it, and she refused. She was very, very smart. And her father finally took her to the king. And he said to the king, my daughter won't listen to me. And she wants to marry this person, and I'm telling her not to. And so the king said to her, girl, you have to listen to your father. And the girl said, I won't. And she started explaining to the king why she feels she should marry this person. And the king said, look, if you're not going to listen to your father, I'm going to put you in jail. And he did. And she spent years in jail, but she wouldn't give in. This was her dream. And the king finally said to her, I'm going to make you blind if you don't give in. And she refused. And the king tried to make her blind, but miraculously she did not become blind. And the king said, if you don't give in, I will kill you. And the girl says, I'm not giving in. This is my life. This is the truth. And the king sets up the execution, and miraculously she's saved. And finally, she makes it out of prison, and she crosses deserts, and She goes a long journey and she's at the age of 75 when she finally catches up to the guy she wanted to marry. And when he takes her under the canopy, when he takes her under the chuppah and he gives her that ring and he marries her, so you can imagine what that ring means to her. And a month or two after the wedding, she's walking down the street and someone looks at that ring and says, "Oh, I know why you got married. You just wanted that ring." Even worse, someone tells her, "I know why you wear that ring. Because that ring, that's in case someone starts up with you, you could punch him in the nose and it'll be a much better punch because you're wearing that ring on your hand." And she looks at him and she looks at the ring and she says, "If only you knew how much work I put in to get that ring, you'd never say that." So I tell this story about the Bris Mila. That Avraham Avinu said, "I believe in God, he is that girl." And his father said, "Don't," and his neighbors said, "Don't," and the king said, "Don't," and he said, "This is the truth, and I'm not giving in." And finally his father gave him over to the authorities, and Nimrod said, "I'm going to kill you," and Nimrod tried to blind him, and Nimrod tried to kill him, and everything in the plan he underwent, until at age 75, he could finally leave and make that journey to Israel, and he gets the mitzvah of a circumcision. So he gets the mitzvah of a circumcision. What is the circumcision? The circumcision is a covenant between us and God. It's that wedding ring. You know, you wear a wedding ring on your hand so you'll always see you're attached to the person. We're connected. God gave us within our body a wedding ring. God gave us a mitzvah of Bris Mila. We're connected. So people say, I know why you do Bris Mila. Just in case you have protection from AIDS. Come on, you guys are crazy. We do Bris Mila. That's our covenant. That's like the guy saying, "I know why you wear that ring." That's our wedding ring. And the same is true of many mitzvot. And that brings us to the second story. Imagine that we left Egypt together. And we all saw the great miracles of the splitting of the sea and the 10 plagues. And we saw all the fantastic miracles. And we sit together. We're sitting in the Sinai desert. And I say, "Guys, we have to figure something out. Because, you know, in 100 years, in 500 years, in 2,000 years, our descendants are going to look back at this and they're going to say, what a fantastic story." Right. But we have to do something to make sure that they realize it's true. So Yaakov says, I have an idea. We'll all wear a hat that says on it, "I was there." Every one of us and our descendants will wear a hat that says, "I was at the Exodus." And Lemuel says, "No, that's not enough. We have to wear a t-shirt that says, every one of us and our descendants has to wear a t-shirt that says, God took us out of Egypt with an outstretched hand." So this guy comes back from South Africa, South America, touring the world, and he says, I'll tell you, that's not enough. You got to make a declaration every morning and every night. God took us out of Egypt. Amichai says, that's not enough. We have to have a flag outside every house that says, God took us out of Egypt. And one after another, everyone comes up. Uri says, we need something else. No, we have to have it on the anniversary. Every year on the anniversary, we have to sit down and recount, this is the miracle that happened. And Mr. Hassan, he's not going to sit this one out. He says, wait, remember the final miracle was that God jumped over our houses and killed all their firstborn. We have to take our firstborn and do something special with them. Well, this is really what the Torah did for us. The Torah said, we don't wear a hat, we wear a tefillin. We wear a tefillin that says in the tefillin, the parasha of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't wear a t-shirt, we wear a tefillin on our arm. We don't have a flag outside our door, we have a mezuzah outside our door. We do commemorate the anniversary. Every direction you look, the Torah took every angle that one could take to commemorate the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everything you could think of, the Torah gave us. In every direction, the Torah says commemorate it. I always say the final one is, I didn't want to make Mr. Hassan be the joker here, but the final one is that someone says, you know what, we all have to declare our monotheism, that Everyone slices off the front of their nose. So whoever sees us knows, the people with the sliced off nose, they're the ones that are monotheists. So we don't do it on our nose, but God gave us a covenant in our body. We do slice off, we do get circumcised, and we are anatomically different, part of a declaration of our covenant with monotheism, our covenant with God. So if you think about it, and that's what the Ramban is saying here, when you look at the mitzvos and you realize what the mitzvos are attesting to, that the mitzvos are really a declaration, many of the mitzvos are a declaration to the tenets of Jewish faith, commemorating the pivotal moments in Jewish history that attest to the tenets of Jewish faith, suddenly you appreciate a different angle in the mitzvos, a beauty in the mitzvos that you don't ordinarily see. When a person goes out to buy a mezuzah, he tells himself, oh shucks, that's expensive. A person has to stop and say to himself, what am I doing? That's my flag. I don't need to have a flag. I'm a Mets fan. I'm a Maccabi Tel Aviv fan. I have a flag outside my door that says I'm a monotheist. Now that's a flag. So the Ramban says, now that we understand the concepts that the mitzvos attest to, we can appreciate a different angle in the beauty of the mitzvos. And we'll pick up here, Bezachem, next time.